You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. 2 years ago, a new affordable housing community called Lavender Courtyard opened in the heart of Midtown Sacramento. The 53-unit affordable apartment community was designed as a welcoming space for LGBTQ plus seniors. And this week, the community will hold its own Pride Month celebration. But how exactly is Lavender Courtyard making a difference in the lives of its residents? To answer that question, I'm joined in studio today by three people with connections to the community. First is Fajal Shah, Vice President of Community Development at Mutual Housing, which developed the community. Welcome, Fajal.
Thank you.
And also we have two Lavender Courtyard residents, Arthur Gerald, and we have Corey Whetstone. Welcome to you both.
Welcome.
Welcome, and nice being here.
Thank you very much for being here in studio. Really appreciate it. Fajal, I will start with you for a few questions. Can you give us an overview of Lavender Courtyard? How many people live there? Do they live mostly in their own individual apartments? And what amenities does the community have?
Yeah, Lavender Courtyard came together with a lot of different community advocates, supporters, public officials, our local residents who really wanted to see an LGBTQ-friendly community that was able to house seniors, because that was a big need. It still is a big need, even with Lavender there now. And it took, I think, upwards of a decade to actually get it together with all of the different advocacy groups that were working on it. Now it's been in place for about 2 years. We did our grand opening in July 2022. It's 50 affordable apartments, and half of those apartments are set aside for people who have experienced homelessness. And it's a LGBTQ affirming community. Doesn't mean that we're perfect about it, but we do our best to be as affirming as possible in every step of the way, like from when we're leasing to the programs that we provide and the way that we support our residents. So we really want our residents to feel comfortable and to know that this is a safe space.
A decade in the making. That's really amazing. It takes some persistence and diligence to get that accomplished. Mm-hmm. Fajal, let's talk about the programs. What can a resident expect at Lavender Courtyard? What sort of services are available?
We provide a variety of services. So Mutual Housing has a strong history in community building and community organizing. So we do a lot of work around helping our residents stay connected to local resources, anything that they might need support with, from like finding money for rent or looking for healthcare or whatever it might be. We also support them in being advocates in whatever issues they care about. So we involve them in Residents United Network, which is a local advocacy initiative. And then we also work with Lutheran Social Services of Northern California. They're our social service provider on the site, and they mostly provide services for those people who are living in the apartments that are for people who have experienced homelessness. But they really are a great partner, and they work very closely with us, and we provide a lot of programming, case management services, connection to whatever people need together.
Well, I'd like to hear from our residents, Arthur and Corey. Can each of you give just a brief sketch of how long you've lived at Lavender Courtyard, what it means to you? Let's start with Arthur.
Yes, I'm Arthur. Yeah, I'm going to be the antagonist in a positive way. I've always lived in major cities, in gay ghettos, you know, and being here is different. And
different in what way?
When I've been here, how can I put it? I'm gonna be nice. When I found out about it through a case manager, there's gonna be one for the LGBTQ community, you know, so I went around telling everybody, and you know, about time Sacramento is going to be progressive, you know. I get there, and these things didn't come to fruition, and there's a lot of gay people who are angry, and there's a lot of who have worked and have done things, and I'm an advocate for gay civil rights, you know, and none of that has really come to fruition. And it's hard to get people to do things here because they're not very collective. And then I just do my thing and feel alone. Well, and then other people empathize and sympathize that no. And we pay the bills. I can't even get a voucher. And then these people, they just come in and in a different culture. You know, gay is the culture. And I know we come in many different packages, but this is 2024, and I'm finished.
Well, let's talk about that just for a moment. And Corey, I want to hear your story in just a second. But Fajal, you know, I imagine that every community there are, as you're getting up and running, mm-hmm. and even once you are up and running, you need to make improvements. You need to fix problems. Mm-hmm. Talk about what Arthur mentioned. How do you make this a truly welcoming, truly supportive community?
Because it isn't.
Yeah, and I hear what Arthur is saying. I think that it's something, you know, we don't pretend that we have all the answers or that we always know everything. We are constantly evolving. I think when the community was coming together, Mutual Housing was very intentional about how we wanted to approach our work. We created something called the Lavender Menace Committee that included staff and partners, where we were thinking about, okay, what do we need to do in order to make this community more welcoming, to make it a place where people would feel comfortable and be able to live in a, you know, normal way. And it's also like it's an apartment building. It's subsidized housing, but it's not something where people are getting a lot of, you know, support or being monitored with everything that they do. Yeah, the kinds of things that we've done is, you know, we work with Sage USA, which is a national LGBTQ organization for older adults. And we've made sure that all of our staff have gotten training through Sage USA. We continuously do training on DEI practices, on housing first, harm reduction. And our teams have worked together to incorporate language in our leases and all of our marketing materials and the signage that we have at the building to be LGBTQ friendly. There are things that I'm sure we can do better and we want to continuously improve. So being able to work with residents like Arthur to understand exactly like where we can do better to make it a more friendly community is always going to be helpful.
Is this the first LGBTQ plus welcoming community that Mutual Housing has developed?
Yes, and it's actually the first in Northern California. Or in this area.
In this area.
Yeah. Okay. Corey, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about how long you've lived at Lavender Courtyard. Give us some of your impressions of the community.
Hi. Well, I'm Corey, and I lived at Lavender Courtyard since they opened. It's 2 years now. And I first heard about the community when they were building the place. And I was really excited, and I thought to myself, I hope I get in here. And I just kept by on the news, and then when the waiting list came, I got on it, and at first I was 155. I thought, I'm not going to make it, but people had to qualify and be sure they wanted to live there, and finally, towards the end, I got a phone call, come in and see your apartment, and I was just so thrilled to get in there. So, what it means for me is I came from a low-income apartment housing before I moved in here. It was open to anybody. So we had an uneasy mix of seniors, young people, drug addicts, alcoholics, dealers. Just a lot of unsavory elements. And as a senior, just a regular senior, you're kind of almost a prey to some of the predators. We had some of the women had their purse snatched. I myself was pushed into the hallway and spat on by a resident that was just out of control. And, it was unhappy living there, even though it was quite cheap. So to get into a place that was specifically for seniors was really a break for that. In addition, having this be LGBT, is it gives you that foundation of knowing that this, at least this, is not going to be an issue for you. Other things may still be an issue, but at least this is something that's like a bedrock. You know the staff, you know, is going to be in tune to working with you. You know if something were to come up with the issue or who you are, that's not going to be an issue as far as keeping your housing, you know, and so it's been a lot to me. And we do have some I think there's a lot of things in the community that you can do. It just depends on how level you want to get involved. We have classes. We have cooking. I've gone to a lot of the community cookouts and the barbecues. I never miss those. As you can tell.
That's great that they have those. Corey, you mentioned it means a lot to you. Arthur brought up some concerns about the community. Mm-hmm. Are there some places where you think staff, the community in general, can improve?
Well, I've got to say, my experience, the staff is top rate. I don't know how they would improve. I mean, if they were given more hours, who wants to work a 12-hour day? I think the issue is a lot of people tend to stay in their place. So trying to get everybody to come down and you know, associate. And so I think that's always going to be tough, where you've got a lot more higher functioning seniors and some that aren't, you know, and so they're out and about. I think it is what you make of it. I know when I first came here, I was laying low with a lot of health issues and things. And this year I've been really coming out more and interacting. So I think it's there for you. You just have to kind of integrate yourself and, you know, and then maybe if it's not quite what you want, suggest some things. Like, I want to get involved with more movie nights. I'm a big film buff. And I want to get involved with some, you know, some good films, some serious films, some other things. So I'd like to, you know, maybe put together a more serious movie buff night, you know.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're speaking with residents and staff from Lavender Courtyard, an affordable housing community that opened 2 years ago in Midtown Sacramento. I was fortunate enough to get a tour of Lavender Courtyard yesterday. During that tour, I met Carmen Castro. She is 67, and she's been living at the affordable housing community for 2 years now, after previously living at a women's homeless shelter in Meadowview. And Castro gave me this tour. You guys have a nice courtyard here.
We do. That's why it's called Lavender Courtyard. Okay.
And tell me what we see.
This is like, we can come out here, you know, like when the sun goes down, whatever, and sit here and enjoy, you know, the grass, all that, and, you know, the flowers. And then over here,
you got a whole bunch of roses back there.
A whole bunch of roses. And lime trees right back there.
Right.
And then there's a parking lot right there and all these plants here, you know. And then over here, there's a garden. See how beautiful it is?
Oh, wow.
It's like paradise on earth.
Oh, this is like a vegetable garden.
Yes, whoever wants to plant stuff, you know, can plant flowers, vegetables. You see, look at sunflowers. You know, like, I don't know, they had like tomatoes. See right here, it's like tomato plant. And, you know, just these, look at these pretty flowers, okay?
If we like ever, some strawberries going on here.
Strawberries, yes, and we can come and pick them. And the residents, they can, you know, we can come out here and plant whatever we want too. Not marijuana, okay? No.
That's
no.
Great.
And then these are like, I think sunflowers right here.
Yep.
You know, and then, well, the alley right there, you know, but.
And then some lavender. I'm noticing maybe back there.
Lavender courtyard, right. Yep. Yes, over there.
Very good.
It's just so beautiful, you know?
What does that mean to have kind of a sanctuary like that?
Wow. I mean, I'm so grateful. Believe me, it's everything. You know, because it's at my own place, you know, and the rent is good. I can afford it. And it just means everything. Peace of mind.
So more than just offering a tour, Castro also opened up about her own decades-long struggle with drug addiction and how she's been able to get clean while living at the housing community. If Lavender Courtyard and the apartment here had not become a possibility, what would you be doing today?
I would still be doing drugs. Because I was doing drugs, okay? I'm not gonna lie. I did drugs for like meth for 40 plus years, okay? But then I came here and I was still doing them for like a few months. But then now I said, I'm too old for this. I have 14 grandkids, okay? Four kids and 14 grandkids. And I wanna see them grow, okay? And so I said, you know what, Jehovah, you know, cause I studied with Jehovah's Witnesses and I'm done, you know, please help me, you know, just stop. Because I stopped many times. And I went to jail many times, but I would always pray to Jehovah and I would always go back to the drugs, okay? But this time I said, I'm just done, you know, I'm too old for this. And so 11 months ago, almost a year, August 29th, it will be a year that I quit doing meth and I quit doing marijuana like almost 6 months ago. And so if I was in here, I'd still be out there. I'm not lying, you know, homeless probably.
Agile, We just heard from Carmen. I'm wondering, is her story about overcoming drug addiction at Lavender Courtyard, is that typical, or is she an exception among residents? Does the community offer addiction services?
I can't say how many people might be experiencing their own issues. I do know that, you know, there are a lot of people in our communities, just like there are a lot of people in the world in Sacramento who deal with addiction issues. We do offer a lot of services. And so I'm not 100% sure if Carmen is a Lutheran Social Services resident, but if she is, then they offer more intense case management and they provide a lot more support with helping people with whatever needs they have, mental health issues, substance abuse issues, those kinds of things. But even if she's not, we still connect people to the different services. We've also started hosting an NA group on site, and we don't know who goes there. It's NA, but it's, you know, we try to provide as many options as possible for people who want to do. And then, you know, the idea is that we follow a harm reduction model. So at the end of the day, it's not about stopping people from anything. It's about helping them live their best lives and to give them options and choices that will keep them safe.
For our residents here, Arthur and Corey, I'm wondering, are there services at Lavender Courtyard, whether they're health services or other types of services, that you're able to talk about or that you've taken advantage of? Let's start, Arthur. Is there anything that comes to mind that you're taking advantage of?
Yes. I came along through the AIDS pandemic. And in my community, I'm used to living in gay ghettos. And the methamphetamine, and, you know, because I got caught up and I had it under control. But no, the services are not here, especially in the gay community. It has devastated the gay community, the AIDS plus the meth. And no, where's the funding? You know, it's not there. And I had it pretty under control, and now I at times get kind of out of control because I need the support. And it's not here. So where's the funding? And they, you know, I'm angry because it is here. Oh, we get the funding. And there's no place to send people to help with their addiction, or be that as it may, or whatever you're going through. No, it isn't here. It's a little Band-Aid and move down the street. And I don't appreciate that because I've always said my taxes and this and that. And there's all different types of seniors and gay seniors. And they only gear to one type of senior. So, no, I'm not getting the service that I need at this time, that I've been out there advocating for.
Well, and Arthur, it sounds like what I'm hearing, I mean, this is a debate as we try to create affordable housing in Sacramento and other places.
And I appreciate Lavender Court. You know, I'm glad it's here. You know?
But building housing is critical, and then funding those services, like you said, is also critical. I wonder, Corey, are there any services, programs that you want to talk about that you're benefiting from?
Well, I think probably one of the biggest things that we've been hooked up with is food, because food is so expensive right now. So we have a community food box option that comes in where we get a food box of surplus food. I think it's kind of like government cheese, we like to call it. But no, it's staples like cereal, beans, and, you know, a block of cheese. And so they've got it set up for us there at the community, so we don't have to, I mean, they even bring them to our door, you know, which is very nice. The other thing that we've got hooked up with here is that Safeway, they come and bring like all their stuff that is expired on that day, which actually it's edible for another good week. So we get every Saturday they come in with a big truck, and we just get mounds of bread and baked goods and sandwiches, and unbelievable. I mean, I've gotten four solid meals and oftentimes, and you know, it's just wonderful. So I think we all really appreciate that, because that income is so tight, you know.
That is really great to hear, Corey. You know, we've been talking about housing, services, food, all of these things, you know, they do cost money. Arthur brought that up. Thajal, you know, there are critics out there who say Sacramento and California in general are spending too much on affordable housing programs. They say they look at new projects that sometimes get built, and they're hundreds of thousands of dollars per unit to produce. I wanted to ask you about some of those criticisms and also to maybe explain what goes into a lavender courtyard. It's obviously not just purely building the apartments themselves.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And let's I think it's helpful to understand what affordability really means, and also to know organizations like Mutual Housing, we're a nonprofit. We do not make any money off of our work. Any extra income that does come in goes back into our communities to fund new communities or to provide services for the people that are there. And I do agree with Arthur that there is not enough money for the services in particular. That is definitely a big stressor that we all have. But we design our communities with a 40 to 55 year life cycle in mind. We want to make them last. We want them to be good for generations to come. And we have found that having a holistic approach where we invest in quality property management and really comprehensive resident services is the best solution for our communities. And our housing development team, the team that puts these deals together. And like I said, sometimes it can take a decade to really bring it together. They look for funding from local sources, state sources, sometimes federal sources even, to really try to create the best financing for the community. Now, these sources often come with a lot of restrictions, which is good. They should. They need to hold people accountable. But that does raise the cost of building affordable housing. And so that's very true. But we're also dealing with a lot of market stressors. Especially post-COVID, there have been a lot of construction issues, construction delays. We're unable to get materials on time. The insurance rates are going through the roof right now, not just in Sacramento or California, but across the country. So all of these things add up to really add on to that expense. And because we try to go above and beyond and really provide a lot more for our communities and make housing that's going to last, that has solid community engagement strategies, and also really focus on sustainability, environmental sustainability, it does cost a lot. But at the same time, it's probably going to last a lot longer and be a lot more effective than other housing will.
Well, there certainly is a lot that goes into any affordable housing community, as you explained right there. I want to thank all three of you, Fajal, Arthur, and Corey, for joining us here today on Insight.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Fajal Shah of Mutual Housing and Lavender Courtyard residents Arthur and Corey talking about the new affordable housing community in Sacramento. Still ahead, there's so much more to Apple Hill these days than just donuts and apple picking. We'll learn about the Lavender Blue Festival taking place this weekend. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're back in just a moment.